Good morning, good morning, good morning, beautiful people of Nashville, Tennessee, of Middle Tennessee, no matter where it is that you stream the 104.5 The Zone radio frequency. We are live and in person with you until 1 o'clock today. Lucas is here. I am here. We are 1 week away from the NFL draft, and we are excited to talk about it in great detail. We will be spending a lot of time on the Titans, on number 22 overall, on where we think they are going to end up. Spend some time on the backup quarterback situation, because that was something that did not get addressed yesterday. We feel that bears running back, so we'll spend some time on that. Mike Golic Jr. of ESPN, going to get into a little trench talk with the big man today. The possibility of an offensive tackle at number 22 overall. It's got some of you shook. Some of you upset. Some of you bothered by the idea that for the second draft season in a row, you might potentially take a tackle. A few of the guys that have visited with the Tennessee Titans officially. And we will gauge the level of outrage. If it is outrage, I feel like people, you know,
PTSD.
Is it PTSD?
It's draft PTSD.
So this is kind of what Don Davenport was speaking about. You know, we spent some time on Don's comments to me yesterday that last year's first round has her legitimately shook for the Titans' first round pick this year. As if it could ever be as disastrous, not once, but twice, especially twice in a row. It's like lightning striking the same place. As if it could ever be as bad twice in two consecutive years as it would be with Isaiah Wilson. I just don't think that's humanly possible. So we'll spend some time on that over the course of this morning. If you're with us on Zone TV, Facebook Live, YouTube, Periscope, Twitch, welcome in as LaMonta Morton is. He says, I want them to take the best cornerback there, whether it's Farley, Samuel Jr., but would love a trade down and take Stokes later. Well, we'll spend some time on that. We want to know from you guys, who do you think the Titans should take? What position? We'll make it more general, less specific, more general. What position do you most want the Titans to take at 22? That'll be the bulk of our conversation with 1 week to go, 7 days and counting until I don't have to look at another mock draft for another at least 300 days. 615-737-1045 is how you jump in on the conversation. 615-737-1045 is how we get it done. We welcome all of you in here on this Thirsty Thursday, but we start in the obvious place. Lucas, what the hell happened to your hockey team last night?
Meltdown.
Oh, no. What happened? I saw that the Preds were playing the Blackhawks last night in Chicago. I had it on in the background while I was working on the A to Z Sports primetime show. When I went into my office about 7 o'clock, they were up 4-1, so I didn't even bother to put it on the television last night. I put the Braves game on instead while I was doing primetime, and then all of a sudden I see streaming in furiously in the comment section, the Preds blew a 4-1 lead. By the time I started primetime, the Preds had choked on their godforsaken vibe that they continue to shove down all of our throats. They gave up 3 goals in under 3 minutes. 3 goals in under 3 minutes on national television. They ended up losing 5-4 in overtime. Chicago is now within 3 points of the Preds for this final playoff spot in the Central. Currently, the Preds have the most points. The Stars in the Central have the best point percentage. Blackhawks are still hanging around. Nashville just let them. What happened, bud? I mean, where did it go? I was excited. You were excited about Eli Tolvanen returning to the lineup. Scored the first goal. That was exciting. Where did it transpire? Because I did not get to see it in live time. I only tuned in just in time to catch the collapse as people were tweeting me, what the hell is happening with the hockey team?
Yeah, it was... I don't know if there was a specific moment, because the Preds were so dominant in the second period, especially the back half of the second period. The last 10 minutes, they were constantly in the Blackhawks zone. P.K. Subban's brother, actually, the goalie for the Blackhawks, was standing on his head in the second, and the Preds just peppering him, scoring with less than a second to go, Mikael Granlund, to make it 4-1. You thought it was over. This team is 6-0. They have broken the Blackhawks, leading by 3 going into the third. And it's like snap of the fingers. They were stunned, quite honestly. Double minor penalty as well that they actually killed off. But it was just part of the comedy of errors that led to a tie game in regulation. And Preds have been good in overtime this season. They've been good in shootouts, but it kind of came back around last night.
Yeah, I know you were watching some of Granlund's press conference from last night this morning, and you told me that he himself sounded a little surprised the way that it turned so quickly for him. Here's Mikael Granlund talking about the Preds choking away their 4-1 lead against Chicago in Chicago yesterday.
I mean, I think we were playing really good until that moment. There was just I think we got a little loose there, and it just happened. Kind of backdoor tappings and all that kind of stuff. So that shouldn't happen, but it happened tonight, and we got to live with that and move on. But, you know, like I said, it did go the way we wanted, but, you know, we have a new chance on Friday.
He sounds completely disoriented. This is such a damning loss. I mean, that is a horrific, horrific loss.
They'll have a chance. And look, to play seven games against the Blackhawks and ask the Preds to win all seven games is a tall task.
No, but I'm not saying that they're going to go undefeated, but the way that it happened.
Yeah, the fact you don't want it to be the turning point that led to the Preds missing the playoffs. Right now, you have a 2-point advantage with that fourth and final spot in the Central with the Stars just in behind. So the Preds still got a point out of last night with the overtime loss. You do it again in Chicago on Friday. So how do you bounce back? How do you prevent this from being that turning point when everything has been so positive? It felt like the Preds could do no wrong. Everything they were doing was working in the last 2 months. And last night, that quickly turned around on them. And they've been good in the third period.
Yeah.
They've been excellent in the games that they've won in this past run.
It's just your margin for error is so thin.
Oh, absolutely.
Your margin for error is so
thin. But it's
thin.
The this same with the Blackhawks the Stars.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, this battle for the final playoff spot in the Central is really, really interesting to watch, even if you're only, like, following hockey from an arm's length. Like, this is hugely competitive. And as we mentioned, the margin for error, so thin. But this is the kind of loss that can just straight up cost you the postseason.
Yeah, the power play has suffered greatly without Elie Tolvanen, who came back and scored a goal last night. But the Preds still couldn't get anything on the power play. They're 0-for in their last 20-plus power plays. I think before last night, it was 0-for-19 from what I saw from John Glennon. So kind of some of the same problems are coming back around to bite the Preds. Philip Forsberg still out of the lineup. But, yeah, you just hope this is not a turning point in this run. We'll see tomorrow night.
Right. Preds back at it in Chicago tomorrow night at 7 p.m. That concludes the Panziga Preds update that we are so accustomed to around on the show. 615-737-1045 on Facebook Live, YouTube, Twitch, and Periscope. Who do you most want the Titans to draft as we pivot to draft conversation here on 104.5 The Zone? This is something, it's a fascinating conversation because we know the needs. The needs are obvious, and so often the top needs are obvious for all 32 NFL teams. You have been told for the past 2.5 months plus what your team needs. You have seen who they have lost in free agency. You have seen who they have signed, who they have not signed, who they have allowed to go to other teams like Daquan Jones, for example, Corey Davis, Jonnu Smith, fringe guys like Khalif Raymond. Who do you, or which position do you think that the Titans most need to draft in the first round a week from today? 615-737-1045. It's a fascinating conversation because we have spent a lot of time on this. Everybody has spent a lot of time on this, of course, because we have been talking draft nonstop really, really since the NFL season ended, right? You immediately pivot to where your team needs to get better, what can help your team get better, and that the most organic way to do that, obviously, is through the NFL draft. By the way, 104.5 The Zone's 2021 NFL draft coverage is sponsored by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. So we ask you guys the question, what is the position that you feel the Titans must address a week from today? Because my answer, and we do the Zone mock draft, it's available for you right now on 1045thezone.com. You've seen all of the hosts, Lucas, I think Will Bowling did it as well. A handful of people on the Zone staff made their picks for the Zone's mock draft at 22. And what was this, 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
2 weeks ago.
Approximately. It was at Champions Run Golf Course.
Right. When we were at Champions Run and they asked me to make my selection. And at the time I said Caleb Farley, the corner, who makes a lot of sense, not just because he seems to be streaming down or he seems to be falling down the draft boards or the draft, not the draft boards necessarily, but his draft stock seems to be falling or has fallen to a place where he's a feasible option at 22. But my opinion on this has very, very much changed. Now, I think the vast majority of the audience is going to be interested in offense. And I will tell you right now, even though I selected Caleb Farley, I'm still going to go defense, but I don't think corner or really a defensive back at all is going to be the move because, of course, you do need a corner and probably a safety given the players that left your team either by being released in the case of Genny Vaccaro or by being signed away by other teams. I mean, they essentially nuked their secondary, letting Malcolm Butler, Adoree Jackson, and Genny Vaccaro go for a variety of different reasons. But at this point, defense is where I'm looking the most. Defense is where I'm looking the most, but I'm not gonna go with the secondary. 615-737-1045 if you would like to chime in, or in the comment section across 1045 The Zone TV. Chris Frazier says we need a wide receiver. Lamonta Morton on Facebook is saying corner. I think wide receiver is the Titans' biggest need, says Shane Loki on YouTube. A lot of you guys are focused, hyper-focused, on the wide receiver position, and understandably so, right? It's A.J. Brown, it's Josh Reynolds, it's Cameron Batson. I believe Cody Hollister is still on the roster. I believe he's on a futures contract, if I remember correctly.
Westbrook Akina.
Westbrook, oh yes, my guy. NWI. Put some respect on this man's name. Wide receiver two. Rex Road wrote that in The Athletic the other day. Or a couple of, probably about a month ago, and just sent the entire internet here locally into a tizzy, is probably the word that I should use. What over under on the age of somebody who says the word tizzy? I feel like that's
45.
Yeah, 45 is probably a good number. 615-737-1045. We will tell you who we think, or what position we think, the Titans most need to focus on in round one of the 2021 NFL Draft a week from today. We will do all that and more. We will take your reaction. We will take your comments. We will take your phone calls. And we'll have a good time doing it. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone. Is this the first time you've played country music? It caught me off guard. Happy Thursday, happy Thirsty Thursday is what I'd say.
Little Tyler Childers.
I don't know who that is, but I don't hate it. 615-737-1045, Buck Rising here with you until 1 o'clock, if you would like to weigh in. We're talking about the draft, the NFL draft, just 1 week away. 1 week away until I never have to see another mock draft, at least until Mel Kiper waits like an hour after the draft is concluded to put out his way too early mock draft. It's not, I mean, listen, the draft is exciting, right? And if you guys want to weigh in, I see plenty of comments on Facebook Live, on YouTube, on Twitch, on Periscope, 104.5 The Zone TV. If you want to basically hang out in the studio with us, you can. So we're 1 week away, and it's exciting, right? Like, mercifully, like, people who do what we do tend to get draft fatigue the more that that this wears on, right? Like, I'm reading a tweet yesterday with the person who is now the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. This is from Andrew Siciliano yesterday, because their new coach, who used to coach for the Colts, was a part of their offensive coaching staff, Nick Sirianni. He said yesterday, in fact, Lucas, do we have that for the people? Because this audio was infuriating to me. This is why there is draft fatigue, okay? You listen to this, and you tell me if this is not the single dumbest thing that you've heard. And it is all over the place at this time of year, because all we have had to do is talk about the same 100, 150 draft prospects over and over and over and over. And even NFL teams are running out of ways to truly evaluate these guys the longer that the pre-draft process drags out. Here is Eagles head coach Nick Sirianni talking about how he gauges the competitiveness of the draft prospects that he meets with.
I'll tell you, I think some of you guys are wondering, like, what game? We didn't go earth-shattering on these games, right? I played a couple of them at rock, paper, scissors, right? That was as easy as that. Rock, paper, scissors. Let's see how competitive you are. I'm competitive. I'm going to be talking trash to him. Did you talk trash back to me? Right? Jeopardy. There's different ways to do it. It looks a lot of different ways. But our coaches got so creative with this. Like, Jeff Stoutland, Brian Johnson. Like, they did just such – Aaron Moorhead. They all did a great job, right? Tracy Rocker, Jeremiah Washburn. They all did a great job of just figuring out how to compete. Because everyone's compete looks a little different. Like, if I get up there, I play them rock, paper, scissors. They got a little more creative than I did at times. So it was awesome, though, because it did anything you compete at. When you compete with somebody that's competitive, they're going to go at you no matter what game you're playing.
I don't like him. That's like the – like
I play rock, paper, scissors with these guys to gauge their competitiveness.
If you're competitive at rock, paper, scissors, like, I just don't like you.
I mean, and of course the internet had a great time with this, right? Like, our friend Trevor Sikkema from the Draft Network is tweeting out videos of Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle playing rock, paper, scissors and losing Devontae Smith. So it is now confirmed, according to Trevor Sikkema, that the Eagles will not be drafting.
He's off the board.
Devontae Smith after they passed on Justin Jefferson last year for Jalen Reagor. And I know this is Nick Sirianni's first year, but how's that competitiveness test going for you? Not great. It's the, like, the draft is fun, right? Like, NFL fans look at free agency and the draft like Christmas Day. And it's basically like Hanukkah and Christmas Day all combined into one, because you essentially get 5 days of Christmas Day. That's what Hanukkah is. I mean, 8 days, but it's, you know, not to get into the semantics of organized religion. We'll save that for the podcast, post-game podcast. But, you know, you get the first two waves of free agency. You get very excited to see who your team is going to sign, right? Those are the big-name players. Those are the guys who you've seen play organized professional football, and you think that as soon as they sign, they're going to make a massive difference on your team. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But the NFL draft is 3 days of this stuff. Now, the Titans have a handful of picks, nearly 10 picks coming up. Well, 9 picks, I believe, is the official number of NFL draft picks for the Tennessee Titans coming up, given the compensatory picks that they are awarded as well. So you get 3 days of Christmas Day during the NFL draft. It's exciting. I understand it. You guys understand it. But also, like, when I hear clips like that, I get very, very bothered by the idea that, you know, we assume that all of these NFL people, and I want to cut Nick Sirianni some slack, because people have been beating up on Nick Sirianni for a minute. Lucas, do we have his first availability with the Philadelphia media? not to spin my wheels too much. We'll get back to the Titans draft pick at number 22. I see many of you guys commenting. I see Danny Smiley, LaMonta, Mir, Jaez. I see you all, Seth Clark on Twitch. We'll get to all of you guys here in just a second. And if you want to call in, 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045. But, like, when you say, how do you let something like that, like the rock, paper, scissors thing, come out of your mouth and not think to yourself, man, that was really dumb, what I just said? But maybe Nick Sirianni does not yet have this self-awareness, because his opening comments to the Philadelphia Eagles media, I combined the word, I'm so frustrated, were just as embarrassing.
Next thing that's very important to me is that we build a smart football team, that we have a smart football team here. And I know we have the people in place to do that. The first part of that, the first part of being smart, is knowing what to do.
Oh, is it?
We're going to have systems in place that are easier to learn. All right, complicated to the defense or offense that they're going against, or the special teams group they're going against, but easy for us to learn. Because when we can learn our system and we can get good at our system, then our talent can take over. Less thinking equals talent take over, but we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place to do so.
Systems.
Systems.
They will have systems.
More about the systems. Tell me about these systems. Like, here, let me be, have a little grace, okay? Because Nick Sirianni, first-time NFL head coach, I'm sure he's nervous. Philadelphia is not an easy place to go into, no matter how long you've been around. Just ask Doug Peterson and how poisonous that got at the end. But, I have to assume that he performed well in his interview. And I know there's a difference between, and there shouldn't be, right? Like, we're just a bunch of, When you're going up in front of the media, ask Mike Vrabel this, okay? When you're going up in front of the media, like a lot of us are largely slobs. We're going to ask you mostly redundant questions, it seems, the longer or the more times that we have the opportunity to speak to you, because we run out of things to ask too, okay? Like, I understand it from both sides.
But that sounds like he scripted something out, and it sounded really good in his head, and it just didn't come out the way he planned it out.
Stoney Keeley on Periscope writes, and Nick Sirianni, big-time systems guy. Tell me
less
more about
thinking these. Thinking equals talent takeover, but we need to have systems in place, and we will have systems in place to do so.
Oh, God. Less thinking equals more talent takeover.
I'm picturing him standing in front of the Eagles just talking about systems, that we're going to have systems on offense and on defense that are confusing for other teams but not confusing for us.
Listen, I don't know how these things work behind I have an idea of how these things work behind the scenes, but I have to imagine that all of the players in Philadelphia are looking at that, if they do in fact watch those things, and be like, what the hell is this guy talking about? This is the next leader of men. Anyway.
But the rock, paper, scissors thing is annoying to me, though, because you're talking to like 20-year-old, 21-year-old kids. A guy like DeVonta Smith, like, he's a pretty shy guy with the media, right? Like, he's not this outspoken, I'm a dog. He's just right. A really good football player.
He's not Najee Harris.
And he's not even Najee Harris, who appears to be a very well-spoken and team leader kind of player. I don't think Najee Harris is going to talk trash to the coach that's interviewing him. I feel like it puts players in a weird position. I don't like the whole thing.
He'll trash talk Todd McShay, though. It's one of my favorite things about Najee Harris. Not afraid to, no pun intended, buck the system. 615-737-1045. Back to the Titans draft conversation. We just had to focus there on a minute for how stupid the evaluation process can be. This is why I'm tired of it. I'm ready in a week to talk about actual players that we can assign value to and the teams that they're going to end up going to. Who got discernibly better? And we won't know for probably about 3 years. Unless it's Isaiah Wilson, and then you find out real quick. But you get this Christmas Day type feeling when you get these new players in, whether they're in free agency or in the draft. Now the scrutiny truly begins locally. Obviously, we've been talking about the draft for months on end, but the scrutiny on where the Titans will actually go with their 22nd overall draft pick is a fascinating discussion, not just because I think as a collective draft media, draft audience, people who are consuming this stuff rapidly, the way that Lucas and I are, the way that many of you are. Some of you are just following this from afar, following it tangentially. And then once the draft actually shows up and you know who your favorite team is getting, most of you the Titans in this case, then you will be more invested in these players as opposed to just kind of this constant guessing game, this Russian roulette of draft prospects. But for the Titans, the conversation becomes much more interesting, as we mentioned, because the needs appear obvious, right? You see you lost wide receiver. You see you lost tight end. You see you blew up your secondary, and you know that you need a pass rush. So all of that seems very cut and dry. Now, who you guys think that they should take, or at least what position you guys think that the Titans should take, becomes a much different conversation from who they'll actually end up taking, I'm sure, right? We play this guessing game year after year after year. Now, what many of you are saying in the comment section, talking about what position, Danny Smiley wants to know, how do you see the Titans repairing the right side of the offensive line? They need immediate help at right tackle. Can they do this in the middle of the draft? Well, what happens, and we put this on a poll, what happens if they select, just for example, right? Tevin Jenkins. He's a tackle from Oklahoma State. He's had an official visit with the Titans. Well, a reported virtual visit with the Titans. Reported virtual visits with the Titans. And he's a potential first-round draft prospect. Are you going to freak out? Are you going to be pissed if 1 year removed from taking a right tackle with the 29th overall selection, if John Robinson just says, okay, we'll try it again at the same position because we still have that as a need? Even more so as a knee, because you let Dennis Kelly walk. I look at this and say, if he's the best player available on your board, then I'm cool with it. I don't care about the positions. Like, Dane Brugler talked me off this ledge, and I feel like most of you, 2021 Vision on Periscope says, I wouldn't be mad at all. I'm not mad at the Titans if they go best player available. I'm mad if there are obvious holes in the evaluation process. And right now, we don't know those holes in the evaluation process to be clear and obvious to everyone. We just know that they botched last year, at least in the first round. The rest of the 2020 draft class, to be determined. But Dane Brugler, when he joined this show on Monday, we do our Mock Draft Monday segment each and every Monday with a draft analyst. We will have one more Mock Draft Monday before the actual NFL draft is here. But Dane Brugler, what he said about what the Titans could do at 22 overall made a lot of sense to me.
Well, and I think that's, we have to remember that, you know, the first people, most fans will correlate their first round pick with the top need. And that's just, we watch the draft every year, and that's just not how it plays out. The board doesn't always fall that way where, you know, the top need matches the top talent. But it, also a lot of GMs, they're forward thinking. They're not just thinking about that, the upcoming season and, okay, what's the missing piece? You know, it's not like Madden where that's what you're trying to do. You're looking at long term, make us the best, who's a regular, very young, still learning, but the ceiling on this player is super high. 6'4", 310, almost 34-inch arms. He's a guy that just doesn't like to stay blocked. And so you can line him up. He played more of a defensive end role at Alabama in their 3-4, their hybrid front. Guys that your reputation out there anyways, he's still going to see a good amount of snaps. So I don't think that's as much of a worry, me personally. But I would understand why some fans would be, you know, kind of look at that and say, well, that's not what we need. But kind of how the board falls, I think it's at least a possibility, especially when you factor in John Robinson, the way, you know, he wants to build in the trenches. He loved SEC guys. Five of the last six picks in the first two rounds, SEC guys.
So that is Dane Brugler of The Athletic, who puts out probably, I mean, Lucas, maybe this is up for debate. I know you read a lot of draft stuff too, but like Dane's beast draft handbook, I think is the most comprehensive of all of the draft materials that we see out on the market. Oversaturated.
Yeah, in
market.
Terms of individual player analysis, absolutely. But stands head and shoulders.
But what he's saying there makes so much sense to me, because Chris Frazier is writing in on Facebook Live. If you want to watch on Zone TV, if you want to comment, you can do so. If you want to give us a call, 615-737-1045. Please do, if you would like to weigh in on what position you most think the Titans need to take at 22. Because Chris says we don't need, talking about the Titans, they don't need a right tackle in the first round. Maybe they don't in the first round, but if he's the best player on their board, take him.
They do need a right tackle.
They have Kendall Lamb. They re-signed Ty Sambrello. He's a swing tackle. So you have players who can compete. You still need to draft a more feasible long-term solution at the position. You can't just live on these. On these 1 or 2 year deals with journeyman players. Now we don't know what Kendall Lamb might be. We don't know. We saw what Ty Sambrello could do on the left side. He looked a lot more comfortable there. The reason that he's bounced around the league is because he has been asked to play both positions and he has struggled at times. Now he did very, very well for the Tennessee Titans last year until he got injured on the road at Baltimore. Because that was the first time that Isaiah Wilson had to dress, which, still didn't result in much playing time until the blowout in Indianapolis. But we digress. It's not about who you need in the first round. It's about what makes the most sense. What is the most forward-thinking action that you can take? That also helps your football team. If you find a talent in the first round at right tackle that can compete against the players that you have re-signed in free agency or brought back as one of your own unrestricted free agents, if you think he can push them for a starting position in your offense and end up being the better solution, do it. That's why I'm sitting here looking at this and saying I am so down for a defensive lineman in a way that I didn't think I was going to be if I'm a Titans fan, okay? And I try to talk about this because I try to talk about this from, you know, objective Titans reporter standpoint, right? But just for what makes the most sense to me, Lucas, what was the Titans' biggest issue last year?
The pass rush.
Not even just the pass rush, but the pass rush, obviously the most blatant and obvious. The lack of talent behind the top end players. I don't care if Christian Barmore, if that's who they end up selecting at 22 overall, if he's there on the board and that's who they end up taking, I don't care if he only plays 30 or 40% of the snaps. Can he do more with the 30 or 40% of the snaps than Tier Tart or Laurel Murchison could to give you a more fearsome defensive front?
And you talk about the talent behind the top-end players. The top-end players were supposed to be Jadeveon Clowney and Vic Beasley.
Yeah, well, the Vic Beasley solution that was not a solution is a topic for another day.
But what I'm saying now is the top player, in terms of just sticking to edge rusher, is supposed to be Bud Dupree. If Bud Dupree can't come back early enough, or if he's not 100%, or if he doesn't pan out the way they want him to in the first part of the season, the Titans are kind of back to square one in terms of the pass rush, unless it's addressed here.
You feel good enough about Derek Roberson? Because I sure as hell don't. I didn't see much from Derek Roberson last year that would make me think he's any kind of a solution. Any kind of a sustainable solution. He's lasted at this point as an undrafted rookie free agent. He has some ability. Go back to that Saints game in 2019 where I believe he had two sacks on Drew Brees. They were very, very competitive in that game, and he's obviously somebody who excels in obvious passing situations. But sustainability, if Bud Dupree goes down, if Harold Landry goes down, injuries 100% a part of this game, no matter what position you play, no matter who you are, whether you have injury history, if you want to assign it as injury history, I think more often than not, it's just bad luck. Like, I don't think if a guy tears his ACL one year and then has a back problem the next year, those two things correlate to it. I mean, it technically is an injury history of the player, but it's not like that's something that's recurring. You know, I feel like people get too wrapped up in that. Mark Lemons on Facebook Live says, we need yet another defensive lineman. Got to get some depth there. We are so abysmal on defense last year. Got to address it. This will help all other areas of the defense. The more that I think about it, because I took Caleb Farley in the zone's mock draft, and, you know, the validity of the mock drafts is one thing or another. You can compete, by the way, for a chance to win something if you are interested in competing in our 104.5 The Zone mock draft challenge. If you're a Titans fan, you can take a tour of 104.5 The Zone's 2021 mock draft, and then submit who you think the Titans will select in the first round of the draft for a chance to win a prize pack from Chattanooga Whiskey. To enter, go to 1045thezone.com/contest. So in mine, our 1045 The Zone mock draft presented by Chattanooga Whiskey, I took Caleb Farley. And the more that I read Dane's analysis or heard Dane's analysis on this radio show on Monday, the more that I read up on what Christian Barmore is, the potential of him. Yes, I understand that he was not a full-time starter at Alabama. Yes, I understand that you think you have your needs taken care of at defensive lineman, but I also understand what won the Super Bowl. Is Patrick Mahomes being just inherently bothered? Now, yes, I know the offensive line for Kansas City was banged up as hell. But more often than not, the way to negate an otherworldly quarterback is by having a fearsome defensive line. That's how the 49ers found themselves in the Super Bowl the year prior. That's what largely contributed to the success of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers against Patrick Mahomes in this latest Super Bowl. 615-737-1045, or if you want to chime in on 1045 The Zone TV, we are live and in person across all four streaming platforms. More on this conversation next. I'll explain why Christian Barmore makes sense for the Titans defense. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 1045 The Zone. Thirsty Thursday here on 1045 The Zone. We're having a good time. My teammate from A to Z Sports, Jack Gentry, is here with us as well. We're going to make you some money on this NFL draft. Jack, good morning. You look well. Oh, can't hear Jack. Where's Jack? There's Jack. Talk to
you
me.
You vibing today, Buck?
I'm vibing just as hard as the Preds did. They choked on the vibe last night, unfortunate.
That was tough. But I'll tell you what, Will Bowling and yourself, y'all are going to mess around and get an invitation to the player hitting ball if you guys keep hating on vibing.
I just, you know, I want it sent into the sun. 615-737-1045. Jack's going to help you make some money on this NFL draft here in just a second. But Evan has been waiting patiently. He has some opinions on this NFL draft, particularly for the Titans. What's going on, Evan?
What's up, Buck? I hope you're doing well. Just wanted to get your thoughts on about a possible trade back for the Titans, you know, maybe 10, 12 spots. One reason why I'm thinking why it's viable is chances are quarterback could be gone by then that they've got highly rated. And with this edge group, you could get a Joe Tryon, maybe even an Aziz Ojulari, somebody who could fall in this class in that range, as well as get a couple extra picks. You're going to get another third-round pick at least out of the trade back. And then you might even be able to find some tackle help as well. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on what you think about all of it.
Now, thanks for the call, Evan. 615-737-1045. I mean, again, it all depends. I love the idea of trading back. I think there's enough talent at the positions that they need help at, the Titans do, to satisfy those things if you're not necessarily making a first-round selection. I'm so down. But ultimately, you have to have a team that's willing to come up to 22. And what if, for the same reasons that you're talking about, well, the Titans don't want to be picking there if the corners are gone. Maybe the top wide receivers are gone by that point. The quarterbacks likely will be gone, the five that we've been talking about in the first round. If those are all the positions, because what are you looking at there at that point? We're talking about a defensive tackle for the Tennessee Titans in Barmore. There are so few teams, when you look around the league right now, that need help at that position. And Barmore's really the only player. Like, you can look at Levi Onwuzurike. I think I nailed it. Rhett Bryan, I'm sure, will text me because I'm looking.
Come bursting through like the Kool-Aid, man. Looking, you got it wrong.
I'm looking directly at my draft guide that he gave me, and I believe I nailed the pronunciation.
That's what Coach Matt calls a shelf.
Yeah. There. So the shelf drops drastically at defensive interior defensive lineman, even though I am aware that Barmore played a lot of end at Alabama. If the position isn't there or if the player isn't there for a team to want to come up, how are the Titans going to trade back? Anyway, we'll spend more time on that here in just a minute. Jack Gentry of A to Z Sports. You can follow him at Jack A. Gentry. Not Stephen A. Smith, but Jack A. Gentry of A to Z Sports. He has written an article for A to Z Sports Nashville.com about how you can make some cash on this NFL draft. Give the people what they need, Jack.
Yeah, so you can go to my Twitter at Jack A. Gentry, like you just mentioned, and I wrote a.
What,
a
I didn't give you guide. Enough? I didn't give you enough plugs there. What do you mean?
You did, but I'm reiterating. There's a betting guide there for the quarterback position if you're going to bet this NFL draft. Buck, we talked last week a lot about that third overall pick and what the Niners are going to do, whether it's Mac Jones or Justin Fields. Last week, and still this week, Mac Jones is the betting favorite.
Yeah,
but he's dropped from -220 to -150. Justin Fields moves from +175 to +160. The gap is closing now. And my best advice for people who are about to bet the draft, it would be to jump in on Justin Fields early, because by the time draft day rolls around in 7 days, Justin Fields might be the favorite, might be the betting favorite for that third overall pick. I'm big on Justin Fields. I'm a big believer in Kyle Shanahan is setting up this big elaborate smoke screen for no reason at all. To eventually take Justin Fields at the three spot. So you can find a lot of value in Justin Fields there at +160 on DraftKings right now.
Yeah, so this is what I've been trying to tell people about the NFL draft. Like, this year more than any year, the disconnect between what you see in the mock draft projections, the media, and what is actually going on behind the scenes in NFL draft rooms and war rooms, it's never been more disparate. Like, it's never been further apart, because one, we know less about this draft class than probably any draft class that we will ever have the ability to get information on, whether it's COVID related or otherwise, opt-outs factoring into all of this. There's just so much that's different about this process that creates that gap. And then ultimately, I don't think that anybody, like, I understand that Adam Schefter, who is if not the most credible person in the NFL on a media from a media front, he's one of them. Understanding that Adam Schefter lending his name, his credibility to the idea that Mac Jones is a very, very real possibility at three, I just don't believe anything that I hear from anybody right now. And I don't think that you can. I think that you have to go into this draft with no preconceived notions, especially when you're talking about betting it. And if you can find value in Justin Fields, for all of the things that we know about Justin Fields, understanding that the epilepsy revelation that he put out there to make teams aware of heading into this, and I'm not certain whether he would have to disclose that or not, unless he would just rather do it on his own terms than an NFL team find out through the medical evaluation process. But I digress. The value for Fields just makes so much damn sense, because the film makes so much damn sense in favor of Justin Fields as opposed to Mac Jones.
You're right. You got to get in early now, because that, like I said, that's going to those odds are going to tighten a little bit, and that race between Jones and Fields is going to tighten. Another thing that I like, and look, DraftKings has a very wide variety of ways to bet the draft, but a certain bet that you can find a ton of value in is the exact playing position of a team's first draft pick. So I'll give you an example. The Titans, their first draft player Cornerback is the betting favorite, plus 225, followed by wide receiver at plus 300. You've got O-line plus 400 following that, which a lot of people, half the city of Nashville, will probably rip every hair out of their head. You got D-line, your boy Christian Barmore, plus 500.
Oh, he's my boy there. Now.
And the linebacker position plus 550 for the Titans. So that's just a little example. But what I like the most when we're talking about exact player position for a team in the draft to be selected with their first pick, I'm going to New England, quarterback, plus 150. And the Patriots right now, they're picking at the 15th spot. But this draft is going to be very active. And there's really no team that's been more active over the last two decades when it comes to trading in the draft than Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. There are plenty of trade partners if they want to move up from 15 because, let's face it, these top five quarterbacks could be gone by the time pick number 11 rolls around.
Yeah.
So you've got teams like Atlanta at 4, Miami, and they are in division, so it makes it a little less likely at 6, Carolina at 8, the Giants at 11, many options to trade up and find their guy. And look, let's face it, Cam Newton's not the long-term answer in New England. He's brought back on a one-year deal. It's a perfect situation for a guy like Trey Lance, who started just 1 year at North Dakota State, to come in, no pressure, learn behind a great like Cam Newton in Josh McDaniels' offense, and go from there. It just makes too much sense for the Patriots to draft a quarterback with this first pick. Whether they sit at 15, which if they do, I don't believe one of these guys is going to be available, but I'm expecting a trade up from New England up into that top 10 range. You've got Carolina at 8, who already got their quarterback this offseason, and Sam Darnold. So I think that New England taking a quarterback plus 150 with their first drafted player is a great bet this year.
B-Love tweets in, one of the last memories I had before completely tanking out Saturday night was meeting Jack A. Gentry at Neighbors. Everybody in the world after the Nashville SC Magic scenes, except for me, went to Neighbors.
That's right. I did see V-Love. We had a couple green tea shots. So I apologize for contributing to your blackout, V-Love.
At Jack A. Gentry is where you can follow him for blackout recommendations and also gambling needs of A to Z Sports. He has a really good piece up right now at A to Z Sports Nashville.com. Jack, thank you as always.
Of course.
All right. When we come back, we will continue the reaction to the NFL draft 1 week from today. What position should the Titans select? I am very, very much in on defensive line. You guys have made comments on the Zone TV chat on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, and Twitch. You can also call in 615-737-1045. Don't forget Mike Golic Jr. as well coming up in hour two. I'm Buck Rising, and this is 104.5 The Zone.